The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So some of what we learn here at this center comes from the Thai forest tradition. It's a branch of this practice that's done in Thailand. And there's a famous lineage, quote-unquote, that goes from Ajahn Mun to Ajahn Chah to several of the Western Vipassana teachers who brought these practices here to us. And so I have a little short story that might be an urban legend, I'm not sure, that it was said to go on between two of these teachers and that, you know, kind of helped form this lineage, because what one of them said to the other had such a profound impact on his practice that he just felt that he was considered himself tied directly to that teacher. Apparently their interaction was very brief, maybe only one day, and yet it was a lineage transfer. And so what was it that he said? It's easy to say. What he said was, be the knowing. And it be the knowing. And it may be that this was said to Ajahn Chah, and it completely opened and changed his whole practice. So what does this even refer to? Most spiritual traditions take up the question of what to do with conceptual thought during practice. So if you've been thinking about thinking, you're not alone. It's been worked with a lot. So most spiritual traditions agree that thoughts are not the problem, and they're certainly not the enemy. You know, the fact that your mind thinks is part of reality. So that's not the problem. But they also mostly agree that the content of thoughts is not where the path lies. You know, the path of spiritual development doesn't lie in thinking about things and following down thought trails. That may be a component of spiritual practice. There are various contemplative, reflective kinds of things that are useful. But that the unfolding, you know, really where it's pointing, is not through the content. So thoughts are not a problem, but their content is not important for development. So we have to find some way to treat a thought as something other than its content. Of course, we do use the content of thoughts. If you want to plan what you're going to do next week, you need to think about it. But that's not in and of itself the path. So what is it? You know, thoughts come at us very authoritatively with some statement or image, which is their content. But is that the only way to see them and the only way to relate to them? There are actually several ways, other ways. And some of them can be practiced right away and others may arise later. But all of them are straightforward to experiment with and to listen to here. So one of them, two of them I gave in the practice notes. So one of them is to observe the thought as a mental object. You know, it's one more thing in the array of what appears in our mind. There's the body sensation, there's the sound, there's the emotion, there's the thought, there's the intention. You know, one more thing. And so we are the observer of just allowing these things to come in and out of the mind. And there are various objections that the mind raises to this, like maybe that thought's really important. I need to think about that. This is the one that's going to do it for me. I'm finally going to figure it out. And so working with that, which are also thoughts, is useful. These are also things that arise in the mental space. A second way is to experience the thought in the body as energy. thoughts do carry, they're a movement of mind, and they're a movement in the body also. Sometimes our thoughts feel like a hive of bees buzzing in our head, and we can really feel that. I also can feel thought as tension in the body. It has these tendrils that thread their way down through the physical, even the physical being. And if I spend the whole meditation session thinking, I'm probably a little tense at the end of it. You know, I have to kind of crack my way out of the meditation posture, whereas if I wasn't really that engaged with my thoughts, my body can be soft and flexible for the whole sitting. So learning to experience thoughts as energy flow can help a lot, because that's also then something, either of these, we can carry into our daily life. As, oh, you know, I can sometimes feel, if I'm being mindful during a conversation, this energy building up in my mind as, you know, the thought of what I want to say is building up. And I can feel that as tension in the body. And then I have an opportunity to consider, well, is that really what I need to say? Is this arising because it's something important to say? Or is it arising because I need to, like, confirm my presence in the world or something? We can then check our motivation or something else if we're sensitive to that feeling, that movement of the thought appearing. So then there's even other techniques for considering thoughts to be something besides their content. One of them is to look directly at the thought. You know, it starts to arise, and instead of it just being sort of an object, we actually turn and blare the attention right at it. If the attention is strong enough, the thought will disappear. You may have even noticed that at a lower level of attention, is that sometimes something, we're about to think something and we turn our attention right towards it and bam, you'll never know what that thought was because it vanished as soon as you started looking at it. Don't worry, based on the track record, that probably wasn't the thought that was going to enlighten you, if there is such a one. So then, you know, we're basically not seeing ourselves as an observer. The first two were the observer of the thought as various kinds of objects. In this practice that I'm now describing, this third one, we let go of being the observer. We turn so directly the attention at the thought without any sense of being the observer that the thought just sort of doesn't persist in that. And then we can ride along on that awareness that we've cultivated. So this is an observerless way of treating a thought as an object, if you will. Maybe an object always creates a subject, but we turn and we see the thought so directly, not as an observer, that it just can't hold up, because thoughts are really actually quite insubstantial. So that's one. It has feeling to it. You know, what does this feel like when we practice this? It's something like this sense of riding the vanishing of the thought is something like a comet, an ice comet, getting close to the sun, and it's just melting. And there's maybe a stream going behind it, but, you know, it just melts away. Sometimes it's very quick, sometimes not as quick, but we ride the vanishing of the thought. And then the fourth, you never knew there were so many ways of not looking at the content of your thoughts, right? Maybe. So the fourth is to be the knowing, as the Thai forest master said. In this case, you actually don't look at the thought. Why bother? You are the knowing so completely that the thought has no substance as anything separate from the awareness itself. So then we are said to just stand in awareness. And there's something like an oak peg in hard ground, I believe, is the image I'm going to read from this text. So this is a verse. This is a whole book, by the way, about relating to conceptual thought. much of it in verse, so here we are. When conceptual thinking arises, don't look at what arises. Be what knows the arising. Like an oak peg in hard ground, stand firm in awareness that knows. So that verse doesn't come from the Thai forest tradition. It comes from the Dzogchen tradition of the Tibetan school. It was written by a 17th century monk, although Dzogchen is much older than that, of course. So it's interesting, isn't it, that the Thai forest master and the Dzogchen master say the same thing, be the knowing, in traditions that are separated by 1,000 years. Maybe it's important. So you might try it. Go ahead and tune in internally, if you would like, to that sense of knowing. Not that you're observing your thinking, not that you're observing what's happening, but that you are what's happening. You are the knowing of what's happening. And as my voice comes through, you just are that for that moment. There may be a little shift in your mind, and then you ride that shift. Sensation comes, a sound, a thought. Be what knows the arising. So I hope this may offer you a hint of some of the ways that we can be with thought besides just doing it, being with the content. It's a big issue. It's not a trivial one at all, how to handle thought. And it goes to the heart of what the Buddha was pointing at, which is to let go of the conceptual mind, to not be ruled by it, to not be pulled around by it, but to find something else. And I hope very much that you won't think about this too much. Thank you.